From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanti Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Dr. Sunil Menon, MD, Head of Department, General Medicine, Sri Sathya Sai General Hospital, Puttaparthi. Dr. Sunil received his MD in Respiratory Medicine from Mumbai University and specialized in Allergy and Environmental Medicine from the American Academy of Emergency Medicine. Currently, he is also associated with doctors in the United States who practice a holistic approach to medicine called functional medicine. And in this talk, he talks of holistic healing and gives many examples from his personal practice as to how a proper diet can heal many of our current day health problems. This talk was delivered in the Satsang Hall here in Prashanti Nilayam on the 18th of April 2016. Stay tuned, dear listeners, for after the talk, you'll be treated to some mellifluous songs from the album Premadhara by devotees from Germany. And at 3:30 p.m., we will have the live Telugu segment Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandesha Jhari. For now, over to Dr. Sunil.
Well, my loving pranams to the lotus feet of my dear beloved Lord Swami, who is the instigator, mentor and guide. Whatever you hear from me, you must understand that Swami is the instigator for any talk. He is the prompter. So when this topic came to me, me having a background of holistic medicine, they wanted the word spirituality to be added to it. And they said that we are basically in a spiritual setup. And Swami has always kept reminding us that everything is divine. So when the topic was suggested, I knew the holistic bit. That was what my field is about. When it came to spirituality, the problem came as, how do I link the two subjects together? And I was brooding about it, and usually when you brood and when you contemplate and you tell Swami that you give me a clue. And he gave me the clue. He said, start with nature. Now all avatars generally speak in riddles. They don't tell you the whole thing. They ask you to find out. So he said, start with nature. And I kept thinking about that. And it suddenly struck me and everything fell into place. And as I drew up the scheme of the talk, I divided it into three parts. The first part is a little bit of the philosophy. The second part would be how holistic medicine really works and some examples of whether it does work. And then final is an action plan, that what can we do to include that in our lifestyle? What are we supposed to do? The most precious thing all of us have is health. And I'm quite sure that every one of you must have visited a doctor sometime in their lifetimes. Holistic medicine is going to address it in a different manner. So why start with nature? What you must understand is that we are part of nature. Unfortunately, our ego gives us the presumption that being a human being, we are somebody different from nature. We are not. Our Annamaya Kosha is built from nature, and when we die, we have to drop it and give it back to nature, back to the earth. Every chemical in our system is linked to something natural, and it is in parallel with nature. Our bodies are affected by a lot of things around us, including the sun and the moon and the planets, including the cycles of nature. The question arises, are we living with nature at all? And holistic medicine is going to address that. Spiritually speaking, if you look at nature, it regenerates. If you look at barren lands left to its own resources, a little supply of rain, a little supply of nutrients, seeds will start flowing in, plants and shrubs will start sprouting, and you'll suddenly find after 100 years, the barren land is able to replace itself, replicate itself, regenerate itself, or grow back. What we must ask is, can we do that? Now you'll be surprised to note that when God made us, you can say Swami made us, He has a built-in replacement system in us. God did not make the human being with a cell by date. He has made the human being that we can control our cell by date if we want to. But He has built in a repair system, a system that can rejuvenate itself, grow back, cure itself without the need of a doctor. With a little help, of course. Now this is unbelievable. Modern science, if you get hypertension or diabetes, and if you go to the doctor and say, can I get cured? He will say, no, I'll prevent complications, I will prevent the disease from proceeding any further, but I can't cure you. I can't repair the mechanism that's gone wrong. Suppose you get cancer, and you got a lot of modern medications for cancer, and if you go and say that, I don't want to take all these medications, can I repair myself? And the doctor will say, no. You have to take a course of radiation or chemotherapy, which is very toxic, or surgery, which is very drastic. But there is no cure. Some of them do go into remission, but your body cannot cure. Question is that the truth? Well, you'll be surprised to know that that's not the truth. Modern science is discovering things which I'm going to tell you in bits and pieces, of course. That shows the human body is still a mystery to us. We are just playing with the surface. And with that surface, we are pretending to do a lot of things. And where modern medicine is good at is in rescuing the patient. If you get an acute heart attack, if you rush to a super hospital, they will save you. But they cannot guarantee you'll get another heart attack. They cannot tell you that I can make you repair the heart so that you don't need to come back to me again. Modern doctors cannot say that. Why? Because they have lost the science of holistic medicine. It's not taught to us, but this field is now being recognized. And the philosophy says, and what our ancient seers have been saying, when we ask the question, who am I? If you look at each other, you'll all see physical bodies. And the ancient seers have actually defined who you are. You are made out of 5 kosas, and you all know about it. The outermost that you see, that we deal with in our daily life, is the Annamaya kosa. The physical body. Why we call it Annamaya is, the body is such a miraculous machine that if you eat a Thayir Sadam or a Vada Sambar or an apple, it will take it in and that thing will become you. And what it doesn't need out of the Thayir Sadam or the apple, it will throw out. The rest of you doesn't remain in you as an apple. The body is so miraculously made that it can take the Anna and make you. And science has shown that every 7 years, you actually change yourself physically completely. That means every cell in your body has been replaced. Magic? No, we take it for granted. If I eat an apple today, I take it for granted that tomorrow that apple has become Dr. Sunil Menon. It doesn't become anybody else. The bits of the apple knows to go into our body. The body knows to digest it. take the essential bits and pieces of nutrient from the apple and build you up again wherever it needs building. Of course, the balanced diet requires all nutrients, and the body is a miraculous organism that can do it. So why can't it repair itself? The reason being, we are living at a very superficial surface level. We got the Annamaya Kosha and we are messing with it, and I'll tell you how. Then we got the Manomaya Kosha, the mind. And if you look at the ancient literature of what the seers were saying and what Swami keeps saying, he says 80% of our problems start with the mind. Now the mind is a very powerful tool. It's an active communication with every cell of your body. You are made of trillions of cells. Every cell is talking to each other. Now this is a surprising new scientific fact. We are made of multiple different types of cells all stuck together. And you don't realize the cells in the heart are talking to the cells in the liver, are talking to the cells in the kidney. And we never realize the body is actually talking to each other. Now suppose you are depressed. Your mind is in a mess. It's in confusion. Modern medicine will take you to the direction of a counselor or a psychiatrist. But now research shows that the mind can affect every organ of the body. That is why Swami keeps saying, no castroil face, be happy. Have positive thoughts. So what does holistic medicine bring into the whole question of health? It says you have to rectify your koshas. You have to keep your Annamaya Kosha in the best condition possible. You have to keep your Manomaya Kosha in the best condition possible. And then you come to the next one, is the energy body, Pranamaya Kosha. If we don't have prana, none of our cells can function. In fact, prana alone is enough to make the cells function. There is a cell culture in the world called HeLa cell culture. This is a cancerous cell taken from a patient, and this cell had a very peculiar property. It can divide and divide and divide without control. Now to get a cancer cell in the lab to continue to divide with very minimal nutrition is very useful for scientists, because then they can do experiments on the cell. This particular cell has been living in laboratories all over the world for the last 60 years. It is just not dying. The person who gave the cell to the scientist has died because of the cancer. But this cancer cell is not dying. The prana in that cancer cell is keeping it alive, provided you give it enough nutrition. In a little beaker, the cells keep growing. There is no consciousness there. There is no human being there. The cell is living. They do a lot of useful things with that cell. They try to use medicines and cancer drugs and test it on these cells. So this HeLa cell culture is... What I'm trying to tell you is, we do not understand life in the proper sense. We don't understand us in the proper sense. We are actually spiritual beings who are temporarily in a human form to do certain things. We are not human beings at all. That is the name given to us as Homo sapiens. The body that you see is not us. We are essentially spiritual beings. But are we functioning at a spiritual level is the problem. So we have to get the Pranamaya Kosha sorted, because that is the energy body. And the energy in our body doesn't go all over the place. It has got channels. And these channels have been defined. And acupressure and acupuncture actually uses many of the channels. You can't see them. And accidentally they found it out. But we can control these channels. The pranamaya kosha is in control. Not your annamaya kosha. Not your manomaya kosha. Not your mind body. The pranamaya kosha is in control. Do we address it? No. We read about it. We read about the causes. But we don't bother about it. Holistic medicine says that if your pranamaya kosha is in tune with your mind, that is in tune with your body, you will reach a state of functioning automatically, which will be disease free. Now we need to do that. Why? Because your purpose in life is not to eat and sleep and grow old and die. Your purpose in life is now to explore the other two causes. The Vijnanamaya kosha, and the final one is the bliss body, which is what you are. If you start functioning at the bliss body and the knowledge body, the Vijnanamaya kosha, you become a mystic. You suddenly realize that you are in control of yourself. We are not talking about moksha, we are not talking about realization. We are talking about within a body, if you start functioning at your bliss and knowledge body level, you will start showing mystical properties. People will call you a mystic. And your body control will be automatic. From just 4 peanuts or ground nuts, you will be able to extract enough energy for the whole day. Surprised? True. You will be able to go into samadhi and stay in samadhi as long as you want. You can switch everything off and you will be able to go into hibernation. The question is, how many of us are told this is possible, or how many of us even try? For the purpose of this talk, I will keep it to the manomaya kosha and the annamaya kosha. The pranamaya kosha needs yogic techniques. It needs a yogic master to show you how you can control the pranayama. Pranayama is one breathing technique which Swami always has taught everybody to do. And then of course there are spiritual exercises which under the guide of a guru you should be able to do. But what are we interested in? At the present moment for this talk, let us stick to what is practical for us. And the first question is, doctor, can I cure myself? Can I be free from disease? Can I be free from pain? So let us stick to the two causes which we can directly influence. One is the manomaya kosha and the other is the annamaya kosha. The primary thing for our discussion is the physical body. And as you know, the physical body is made out of food. So what we should understand is, when you understand your body, you must understand how did it evolve. It took millions of years for the human body to develop this structure. And that is how creation works. Creation always creates the platform, puts the circumstances, and then the creator stands back and becomes a witness. The rest becomes automatic. In this automatic process of creation, the human body evolved. And thousands of years ago, the human body evolved very close to nature. There was no cooking, there was no oil, there was no sugar, there was no masala. People ate directly from nature. Were they healthy? Well, research is showing that most of these skeletons and genetic changes that I've seen, including the changes in the teeth, including changes in the bones, show that these people were very, very healthy. They didn't live very long because of life being very tough. But when society improved and food was easily available, they led a very Vedic lifestyle. So the ancient rishis who have written about this, they actually practiced it. They started off the day with the Surya Namaskar. They ate food at a particular time, in a particular position, in a particular way. The source of the food was important. The way the food was cooked was important. Who cooked the food was important. They always said a set of mantras, which we have reduced now to Brahmarpanam. Why? Because they were in tune. And then, about 10,000 years, civilizations came in. People started living in cities. People started building huge, huge places to stay together. A large percentage of people didn't have resources to the Vedic lifestyle. And then foods started changing. Food started being made for the tongue and the taste. We started adding things and cooking things in a way which the human biology is not really meant to do. And in the last 100 years, it has completely changed. So today, if you look at the problem of diabetes, it's going up. If you look at the problem of heart attacks, it's going up. If it is the problem of cancers, it's going up. If it is asthma, an ordinary condition, it's going exponentially up. Chronic diseases, everybody's got gas trouble. Everybody suffers from headaches all the time. Every other person is taking a BP tablet. So what's going on? Something is wrong somewhere. And then you come to a basic fact. It's your lifestyle. So holistic medicine says, change your lifestyle. Today something is not agreeing with you. You have to make some changes. Now what is the proof? What is the proof that eating differently or changing your lifestyle is going to make a difference? So I'll tell you some stories. Stories are always interesting because from stories we say, oh, okay, that happened. Three of these stories are from Puttaparthi itself. And I came across, one of them was a patient of mine. The other two I came across by accident, which is why, you know, I hats off to Sai Digital Studio, because a lot of these interesting speakers come and they tell these stories. So one was a Sai Digital boy who had finished his MBA, and they were having, I think, a panel discussion, and the subject about food and diet and lifestyle came. And this boy said, oh, can I, you know, share my story with the panel? Now his story was, he had been diagnosed to have migraine headache, which everybody knows. Everyone knows what a migraine headache is. Naturally, there's no real cure for that. You give a lot of medicines. So because the headache persisted, they said, you're an MBA student and, you know, you're under tension, maybe that's causing it. He finished his MBA, the migraine continued. Now we have these facilities, so he was sent to Whitefield. The neurologist did a brain scan and they did a complete checkup. Perfectly all right. You know. What do you have? It's a condition called migraine. He said, what do I do about it? You give me a solution. So they said, okay, whenever you get the migraine, you take this tablet. He was then in Kulwant Hall and Swami was giving a talk. And Swami said, one of the biggest problems today is tea and coffee. People shouldn't drink tea and coffee. He took it to heart, went back to the hostel, stopped tea and coffee from that day, no migraine. Now in this particular case, he made a small lifestyle change. Accidentally, of course. But holistic medicine says, you know, you don't have to do it accidentally. We can actually measure your system, and from your history and from your clues from your history and the lifestyle you're leading, we can generally find out what's going wrong. There are various methods for that. But the fact is, he accidentally found a cure for his migraine, which none of the doctors said tea and coffee is okay. For this particular person, it was not okay. A little switch got switched off. Migraine went. The other story is my own patient, who I won't name him because he's very famous. He came with pain in his big toe to me and said he's seen all the doctors, he's taken the x-ray, he's done his blood test, and nobody knows why his big toe is paining so much. So I went into his history and asked him, since when? So he said, since about 6 months or so. And I said, where have you been eating for the last 6 months? So he said, he's alone in the ashram, his wife has gone to the UK. So he's eating in the South Indian canteen for the last 6 months. So I said, that's it. Stop eating in the South Indian canteen. Have a maid or somebody cook food for you. And I gave him a list of items to avoid. And the swelling went. Now he didn't believe me. So after a couple of months, he tried it again. And he found every time he ate in the South Indian canteen, his big toe got swollen up. And just the big toe, nothing else. So he was having an acute inflammatory reaction to something in the food. That much we knew. Now, being very analytical, he started keeping a chart of the foods he started eating. And he found, in his case, any sour food, mainly tomatoes and tamarind, didn't agree with him. Now he's been eating tomatoes and tamarind for so many years of his life. Suddenly in his body, something switched. And he started reacting. All the doctors were treating his swelling. They were not holistic. They were not treating his system. So when we treated the system, and the first thing that is going into your system every day is food. So you would say, what is the difference between North Indian canteen and South Indian canteen and Western canteen? There is a lot of difference. And after this, I've started advising patients that when you've got issues with the North Indian and South Indian canteen, eat in the Western canteen and tell me how do you feel. And many of them would come back and say, you know, actually, you know, since the last 2 weeks I'm feeling better. It's not psychological. The anna that you eat, if it doesn't agree with your system, or starts disagreeing with your system, it will cause damage. So you have to be very, very conscious of the food that you eat. The other two stories, the third story is, again, Sai Digital Studio, is about a pathologist, an Indian pathologist, lady doctor, who was practicing in New York, and she developed severe asthma. Being in New York, she had the best facilities to treat her. And once when she was driving the car, because of the pollution, she got a severe asthmatic attack in the middle of the road, in the car. So she parked the car and phoned 911, and the police came in, picked her up, took her to the hospital there. Being a doctor, they admitted her there into a big unit. And she was on a ventilator for about 2 weeks. And that was the severity of the asthma. When she came out of it, she went back to the usual modern medicine approach of treatment. And she thought, I never had asthma before. I got asthma now. None of the drugs are working. I'm getting admitted to the emergency. What is the problem? My body is reacting to something. The worst diagnosis is pollution, air pollution, and stress, and lifestyle. But the important bit which clued into her was food. Being a busy doctor, she was eating processed food. She was eating food that was available in the American market that's called junk food. So she rang her grandmother to India and said that, you know, used to cook at home. Give me the kind of ingredients and foods which I can eat, which is fresh. So they all laughed and said, you know, you hate cooking, you know, you are, you know, a modern American now. So she said, no, for my health's sake, you know, I need to change my eating lifestyle. And she cured her asthma just by eating fresh, home-cooked South Indian food made from fresh stuff. What happened here? Change in lifestyle, change in food, asthma gone. She cured herself. See, the body changed back. So reversal is possible. We can actually control the systems by what we put in. And there are some guidelines for that. Then the mind. A large percentage of patients who come to me there, they are from West Bengal, because they come to the super hospital and, you know, they get checked out from there and they land up in general hospital. And they come with bags and bags of investigations. Every test possible on earth has been done on them. And when I sit and talk to them, I find that, of course, they got a physical issue. They got an Annamaya Kosha related problem. But the main issue is the mind. If you look at life today, it is not joyful, it is not peaceful. Right from a small baby who's born, immediately the parents have to book a seat in the nursery school. The moment the child goes to nursery school, the mother is teaching the child to get 100 out of 100. We are stressing the child at a very young age. If you put the body under stress and the mind under stress, the mind flips. It starts instructing the body to go along the stress pathway. And a lot of people believe stress is a evident physical thing. Need not be. Any situation you are uncomfortable in becomes stress. So if you're sitting in an uncomfortable chair, it is stress. If you're continuously dealing with a very uncomfortable person in your lifestyle, it is stress. Stress is the continuous pricking of our system to make it act in a way you don't want to act. Today, in today's lifestyle, if you are unhappy, you cannot cry. If you are extremely happy and you keep laughing, people think you are mad. You cannot be yourself. We are all pretending. We are pretending at every source of our lifestyle, whether it is work, whether it is rest, whether it is company. If somebody asks you, how are you? You'll say, oh, I'm fine. Nobody says that, you know, actually I got a migraine headache. The fact is, we are not truthful to ourselves 99% of our time. Because we have to interact in a world which continuously makes us reprogram the mind to act in a particular way. Society wants you to be in a particular state of mind all the time. If you get it from the inside, and that's why Swami always says inner view, and if you are able to program your inside, then you will be absolutely peaceful. Because that is what we are. We don't have to get the peace of mind by doing something or inherit from somewhere. The peace of mind is our natural state. Why we are moving away from our natural state is because we are interacting with society. Holistic medicine gives a lot of importance to how you think, how you act, besides the fact where you act, where you think, and the circumstances you're in. And holistic medicine tells you to change it. That is what we must have the inner strength for, is to change the way we react, not changing the circumstance. In this world, circumstance is never going to change. We are only going to change our reaction to it. So Swami always says equanimity. How do you react is the problem. The problem is not the other person. It is your reaction to is the issue. So holistic medicine says, besides treating the Annamaya Kosha and the disease condition, pay an attention to how you are reacting. And you'll suddenly find, the moment you settle that, a large percentage of the disease issues will settle. And that is a surprising thing. Change in lifestyle, change in environment, does it work? This is the story of a famous American millionaire who wanted to go to Africa for a safari. And he was, you know, typical American Texan, tall, obese, not bothered about what he ate and what he did with his life, heavy smoker. So all his friends said, if you go for an American safari, chances are that, you know, you'll get some serious problem there and you won't get medical help. So they said, the sensible thing to do is, why don't you go and get a checkup? And let the doctors tell you, are you fit to go there? And he wanted to go to a remote part of Africa. This is a 1960 story. So he went to Mayo Clinic, a very famous hospital in America, and got a full body checkup. And they immediately said, you are a very sick man. You got early indications of a heart condition. Your blood pressure is through the roof. Your blood sugar is out of control. Your cholesterol is very high. So he said, okay, I don't feel sick. What am I supposed to do? So he said, 6 months, you stay with us and we will treat you. So he said, no, I'm going for this African safari. And I can't wait for 6 months. I decided that. Being an extremely rich man, you know, they have power in their hands. So he said that, what would happen to me if I don't listen to your advice? He said, well, one of these complications will come up. So his friends got worried and said that, okay, you go for the safari, but you take a doctor with you, with all the medicines, and you can travel where you want, and keep the doctor with you all the time. So he had a doctor friend who was ready to go with him, and he picked up another set of 10-15 people, and they landed up in this remote part of Africa. They were airlifted, and they were dropped there. The trouble with that particular place is, they have something called flash floods. It just suddenly rains, and the whole area gets flooded. You can't walk around then. Unfortunately for them, with the second night, this flash flood happened. It took away their campsite completely. People were just, you know, running about middle of the night, and they all got split up. And this particular millionaire and the doctor and another friend of theirs, the three of them got stuck together, and they floated about, and luckily they got rescued by a local tribe. The local tribe lived a very basic natural life. They were hunter-gatherers and they moved from place to place in the deep forest and savanna of Africa. Luckily, these were nice tribals. They didn't kill them. They rescued them and said, now the floods are there. It will take a month for the floods to go. You have to go to some other spot, higher level, and you have to live with us. Now they lost everything, except the doctor didn't lose his bag. He had his blood pressure apparatus with him. They lost all the food, they lost the campsite, and they were stuck with these tribals. And they were eating rubbish. They were digging roots out of the ground. They were plucking strange looking fruits from the tree. They were munching on some grasses, which tasted okay. No cooking was done, and occasionally they were catching some animals, and you know, so these guys were so hungry that they didn't know what to do. They had to eat that. And for a month they were lost before, you know, his people found him and they could be airlifted back. But the doctor noticed that every week this guy was looking better. And by the end of the month, he was normal. His blood pressure was normal. His blood sugar was normal. So they told him to go back to Mayo Clinic when he went to the States, get readmitted, and test his blood again. So this time he did a trick. He went and gave another name, and did his blood test, and they said, your blood reports have come like a 20-year-old boy. You are the healthiest patient in our hospital. So he said, I'm the same man who you gave 6 months to live. What happened? So he wrote a book called Stone Age Diet. The diet human beings were eating when they were living in caves, living close to nature. So all the change in lifestyle had cured them. Flipped. Nature has got a tremendous capacity to do the flip. So to sort of come to, can your body repair itself? The answer is yes. There is a new subject called epigenetics. Till now we thought the genes in our body cannot change. It's fixed. Now they found out that there are good genes and bad genes in our body, and there are genes which are sleeping. We don't know why they're sleeping, but they're sleeping. And then some genes are of course working. We can actually switch on the good genes. We can actually wake up the sleeping genes and your body will start changing. They don't know exactly how to do this, but our ancient rishis have been doing it all the time. There are yogic techniques and there are breathing techniques which you learn from a real yoga master. You can do tricks to your body which you never realized possible. And what Swami was showing in, you know, when he was actually doing a miracle, so Swami always works within the rules of the creation. He says that it is my grace and your faith, both have to come together to make the cure. But the cure is taking place entirely within the physical dimension. He's not doing any magic. He's actually making a phenomena happen, utilizing. The question is, can we do it? And Swami says, yes, because you are also God. The fact that Swami came in a physical form is to show us what is the highest level the human being can function. Swami always said, my life is my message. What is the inner meaning? The inner meaning is that all our lives can parallel that, provided we have the systems in place. So epigenetics found out that by changing your diet, you can switch some genes off and you can close down some genes just by diet change. This is very, very shocking. And they did most of these experiments in the lab, and they found if a rat is supposed to live for 5 years, by changing its diet, it can make the same rat live for 40 years. Nature-wise, in the Mahabharata, they talk about somebody is 150 years. Krishna was 85 years when he was in the war. 85 years? And a 14-day war? And he said, oh, not possible. 85, he should be in a wheelchair. What Swami is saying is that it is our concept of life that is the problem. We have fine-tuned ourselves. Our mind has fine-tuned ourselves. Our whole generation has fine-tuned ourselves. And this fine-tuning is programmed. And once you program, you're finished. But mystics can reprogram anything they want. Not that everyone should live for 500 years. What I mean is that whatever lifespan we have, we need not feel that we are not in control. We can help nature to support our system. Acute medicine, emergency medicine, I agree. But emergency medicine is only to save your life when it is in crisis. If you get pneumonia or a heart attack, or you need a surgery which has to deal with the problem, it's fine. But that has nothing to do with lifestyle. So we have found, spontaneously cancer can cure itself. People in coma, you've been in coma for 20 years, they wake up and they become extremely normal. So the holistic approach is actually dealing with this. It is trying to promote the healing mechanisms which is there in us. So you would say, how do we do it? Well, the first thing is, you have to address the issues of your mind. If your mind is a monkey mind and is constantly on the go, is constantly working overtime, it's going to affect your body. Swami came mainly for the spiritual exercises, for us to get that monkey mind into control. So holistic medicine says, if you've got a disturbed mind, going to a doctor, you're not going to fix it with an injection. The second is, we have to introduce yoga techniques. Yoga is not a hobby. Yoga is not a part-time thing. Yoga is essential. And that has to be done. So, in the general hospital, we are planning to get somebody who is going to teach yoga in a systematic way. And there is a yoga asana for every condition. So, along with your change in lifestyle and change in diet, yoga becomes important. And then, of course, you have to change the chemistry of your body. Where does the chemistry go wrong? Well, take a simple example. How many of you use oil in your cooking? All of us, I presume. Where does the oil come from? It comes in a nice little plastic bottle like this. And we call it refined oil. If you take this refined oil and pour it into your motorcycle or any engine, the engine will run without any problems. If you take this refined oil and keep it open air, come back after 1 week, you'll find the oil is exactly the same. You can cover it if you don't want things to fall into it, but you'll find the oil has not changed. That means refined oil is the dead oil you're putting inside your body. On top of it, you're frying and you're heating the oil. Any living substance above the temperature of 50 degrees is dead. And we are expecting this dead oil to actually help you. The cholesterol controversy is now on its head. Everybody was blaming oil and cholesterol for heart attacks. That theory is now gone. In fact, the Food and Drugs Administration in America has taken it out of the list. You cannot survive without healthy fats. And the word is healthy fats. What is causing the heart attack is the refined oil. We are using it, we are killing ourselves. So all my patients, the first thing I tell them is, either you reduce the oil in your cooking as much as possible, or if you are using oil, it should be unrefined. It should be stone crushed. In my grandmother's days, she used to send the copra to the crushing mill. They used to crush it and they used to bring the oil. Within 6 to 8 hours, the oil starts becoming rancid. She will not reuse that oil at all. Oil is used for that particular day. It's made into food. It's cooked and eaten. Everything within a short period of time. So the source of oil is one important killer. The second important killer is sugar. Sugar basically is not needed by our body. Our body biology is meant to take food, send it to the liver, and convert it into sugar. Our small and large intestine together, it's about 22 feet long. Why do we need something 22 feet long? We have short-circuited the system, and after the British introduced sugar, that's since 200 years, and made sugar plantations, sugar is used in everything. Even your atta bread, which they make in the ashram, has got sugar in it. Sugar is actually a direct poison to the system. You don't need sugar. You're supposed to get the sugar from your food. Convert it into sugar the way the body likes. So the two important killers is sugar and oil. The third is your cooking. If you keep cooking your food, if you keep reheating your food, if you cook the food in the morning and eat in the evening, it's already become tamasic. It cannot have any sattvic benefits. So try to reduce doing that as much as possible. The other thing is, what is the percentage of raw food you're eating? If you find that the percentage of raw food is very less, raw food contains what is known as living enzymes. Human beings have adapted to raw foods since thousands of years. Cooking and masala and all the rest of it is for the taste. The body doesn't care either way. So we are actually putting in a lot of rubbish into our system and clogging the system. And when the system starts breaking down, you go to a doctor and he gives you medicines that is clogging the system further. Tea and coffee. Absolutely not necessary by the body. And people who have got issues should keep off it. Then what do you drink? Your body is 80% water. 80%. Can you imagine? If I burn myself, you can put my ashes in a small little cup like this. Then what is the rest of Dr. Menon? The rest of me is water. We don't drink water to the amount we need. So early morning you wake up, you drink water that is warm enough, not cold of course. The first thing you do is drink water. You find just by drinking a glass of water early in the morning has got extreme regenerative effects on the body. This has all been said in the yogi sciences, but we never practice it. What is wrong with our food today? If you eat any food today, number one, it is adulterated. Number two, it is preserved. Number three, it is processed. Number four, if it comes in a package, that means some machine made it. Does it make a difference? Well, it makes a difference. Just by eating raw food and keeping away from processed food, your body will start healing. And this is what happened to the American millionaire who got lost in Africa. He was forced to eat, you know, what we may call, you know, jungly food, which tribals were eating. We are over-sophisticated our diet. The only reason we did it is because our tongue is controlling everything. So health is actually a sacrifice. You know what Swami said about food? He said, food is a medicine for the disease you have, which is hunger. He actually made the statement. He said, the hunger in you, your stomach saying, oh, I need that 10 o'clock tea. It is a disease. If you are physically fit, you won't need so much food. You will find your energy mechanisms will be working at 100% of its potential with less food. And this is very shocking to my patients when I put them on the diet. They say, doctor, I'm eating less food. I'm feeling more energetic and my weight is not changing. While for other people, they eat one extra chocolate and the diet is gone. The reason is that our Annamaya Kosha is messed up with our modern food. There are no easy answers. I have not come here to, you know, as a solution man. What I'm telling you is, research is telling man is killing himself. And you know who's profiting from all this? The pharmaceutical companies and the hospitals. WHO has said, and this is WHO, has said 80% of human disease is preventable. It is from hygiene, it is from eating habits, it is from lifestyle. As the final bit to the thing, some actions to take. Source of the food is important. Try to see that the food is as fresh. India, most of the vegetables are full of pesticides. So I would recommend you to wash not only in water, but also in soda bicarb. So if you're not very sure that the vegetable is not fresh, you put some soda bicarb in water and wash the vegetables in it. It will take care of the pesticides. Try to remove the skin as far as possible because most of the chemicals and pesticides are in the skin. Eat as much raw food as possible. Eat as quickly as possible. They have done an experiment. You know the method of dowsing where you use a pendulum and the pendulum will swing. If the pendulum swings in a clockwise fashion That means the thing, energy is okay. If the pendulum swings in an anti-clockwise fashion, it means the energy is bad. And if the pendulum doesn't swing at all, that means basically, you know, something is happening in that structure. It's called dowsing. They find water underground by also by dowsing. Now if you take food, you can do this at home. And if you take a pendulum, you can make a pendulum with anything you want and hold it on top of the food. In the first 20 minutes, you'll find the pendulum will swing clockwise. After about an hour or so, you'll find the pendulum will not swing at all. After about 3 hours, it'll start swinging in the anti-clockwise fashion. That means the energy in the food was fresh in the first 20 minutes or to 30 minutes. Which is why in the olden days, you know, my mother used to cook and she used to insist that you eat immediately, don't talk. Right. Most of the other things I have said. Well, how you eat, Swami has given a lot of talk in it. But remember that eating is a holy process. No television, no talking, no discussions, no arguments, nothing. Eating is like a prayer. You don't only say the Brahmarpanam, but you eat. Eating amount, Swami has said, you must leave, you know, and wasting. There's a famous rishi who had a particular habit of telling his wife, every time you bring me the food, you bring me a small cup of water and a toothpick. So religiously, she has to bring the food, bring this cup of water and a toothpick and place there. And he would ask for drinking a separate glass of water. For what is the point in having this little cup of water and toothpick? After 25 years, she became a little bolder. And she said, Swami, tell us, I never asked you this question. I've been doing it religiously. So he said, Anna is God, is divine. So when I'm eating the food, if any rice bit or any bit falls on the ground, I will use the toothpick to pick it up, wash it in the water, and eat it. But for 25 years, he never dropped any food on the ground. But the cup was to remind him. That is how the rishis taught us about food. It's a divine thing. We are putting chemicals into our system. 90% of Americans are manufacturing taste, they're manufacturing flavor, they're manufacturing color. Do you use red chili in your house? Chili powder. You test it. The test is, if you take red chili powder and put it into the glass of water, it will sink to the bottom, but the color will not change. If the color becomes red, that means your red chili powder has got adulterants in it. So 90% of our turmeric, which is coming in, masala. In my days, my grandmother used to grind all the masalas. She used to pack the masalas and send it to Bombay. And you know, for us to go to Kerala and go to grandmother's house was mainly to pick up the masala box. And my mother used to use it for one whole year. And when it finishes, comes back. And we were all quite healthy. Today, food is adulterated. So what is holistic? To end the talk, we are all supremely divine beings using the Annamaya Kosha and the Manomaya Kosha for us to walk about and do our earthly work. We are not Annamaya Kosha. We are not the Manomaya Kosha. We are not even the Pranamaya Kosha. You are part of the essential cosmic consciousness. When we die, nothing happens. We drop everything and our cosmic consciousness is free. Why we are in this particular upadhi is our karma or our desires in our last life or some nonsense. The nonsense has happened. So what is our purpose in life? Live it divine. From morning till evening, Swami says, you wake up in the morning with love, spend the day with love and end the day with love. The word love is another word for the divine. Every activity of us, which we are doing, Swami said, should have the hum of the divine in the background. It's like the sitar which plays in the background. You find all musical instruments are playing, but the sitar goes tung, tung, tung continuously. It's not really contributing to the music. It is just doing tung, tung, and Swami said. But for the people to play the orchestra, the sitar is the rhythm giver. So basically this goes in the background. So the divine is there. Most of us are in very undivine circumstances, doing undivine actions, eating undivine food, quarreling and arguing with people in an undivine way, and then getting frustrated and angry with ourselves or the world or the fate or whatever it is. And then we get diabetes. So we come to, you know, Dr. Menon and GH and say, now I got diabetes. Now if you actually return back holistically, your divinity will start working on its own. I have to set certain mistakes that you're doing right, and then nature and divinity will take over. Is it happening? Well, the fact is, it should happen. I'm not saying that I got a magic solution. Different people at different levels of consciousness. But this is the way forward. All of our human consciousness, if it doesn't go to the next level, you will find terrorists will attack you, people will bomb you, there will be scaremongers everywhere. Nature itself will react. Mother Earth is sustaining us, is not separate from us. But I think human beings have reached a place where we have done enough damage. Swami coming in as an avatar is not to give us moksha. Swami has come to tell us, learn to be who you are, take care of the earth first. Eventually, we'll all be reborn, and then the level of affairs will be such a state that we can think of moksha or liberation. Let us set the basics right. And our job now is to get the basics right. Thank you. Om Sri Sai Ram.